The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Now, you may remember back to Friday, just gone, Friday morning, we had Jonathan Ayling, the chief executive of the Free Speech Union, on to tell us about their efforts to find out from the Hutt City Council, Joe Miller, their CEO specifically, why they had inserts in a stuff publication, the Hutt News, which I think I used to deliver as a kid. How about that? My, how things have changed. So they removed that insert from the Hutt News, and they have justified the removal. And this is from the CEO, Joe Miller, and I think in the comms back to the Free Speech Union. They cited concerns about the booklet spreading a particular political viewpoint without counterbalance and being viewed as spreading misinformation. Well, we obviously thought it would be a good idea to invite the Hutt City Council, whoever from there would come on, to explain why they did this, but they declined. Here's the reply from Dave at the communications team, who I bet is thankful he's in that job and not a journalist for TVNZ or News Hub right now. Good afternoon, breakfast team. Thanks for the invitation, but on this occasion we will decline. However, attached to two documents for your reference, we have nothing to add to this. Basically, regards, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Basically, just the comms between them and the Free Speech Union, which Jonathan Ayling told us about on Friday. Okay. So I want to welcome Frank Newman on the program from the New Zealand Centre for Political Research. Frank, thanks for coming on.
Oh, pleasure, Paul. No problem.
Sorry about the long-winded introduction.
No, all good.
Okay, so first of all, are you surprised that they won't come on and discuss this?
No. No, I suspect it's got a bit hot, especially since the Free Speech Union took up the issue.
Yeah,
which I'm grateful for them to do so.
Did you have any idea? Were you putting out bait for them?
Good God, no. No, what we actually put out was a full reproduction. It's not only extracts, but a full reproduction of work done by Sir Aparananata in 1922.
Right.
So that was his explanation of the treaty. And he goes through clause by clause. It's a very good explanation, actually.
Okay.
And he writes it in quite simple language.
Yeah.
Now, that work was translated into English in 1963, and by the Ministry of Māori Affairs, and distributed to every Māori household in the country in 1963.
Wow, didn't know that.
Mm. Now, well, that was after his death, but they were so impressed, I guess, with his explanation that they translated and reproduced it nationwide. That's the regard in which he's held.
I got you. I'm not going to ask you to recite every part of it, obviously, but, and I know Winston Peters, in a couple of conversations we've had here, has mentioned Sir Aparananata as, you know, someone that we should take notice of, and he's on the $100 bill, if I'm not mistaken. So,
$50, you know, yeah.
Was it 50? You got to work hard to get on a bill, put it that way. I mean, exactly. Sir Ed's, he's only on the five. So, what is it about what he had to say that that impresses you and made you want to put that in as an insert?
Well, it's simply the clarity. Like he reproduces the three clauses, three articles, and then he just breaks them down into his explanation. You know, he simply sees it. He calls it as he sees it, as he saw it at the time. You know, very, very simple. We thought that was actually a very good, because of the high regard in which he's held, it's very good to get that explanation out there into the public. And in fact, what Winston Peters is quoting from is exactly the explanation that we have reproduced in full.
Right.
Which is interesting. So he's obviously, we haven't communicated with him about it, nothing to do with New Zealand First about this. But he obviously has picked it up and he sees the historical significance of this work as we do. Now, what we actually put out was the full reproduction. We consciously, we didn't have any political spin on the introduction. We had a very brief foreword, And that was simply to explain what we actually have reproduced. So there's no political spin in this. It wasn't a one-sided treatment. You know, we didn't justify it in any way. We simply said that this is a historical work that should be part of the debate about the Treaty of Waitangi.
And then you find out that essentially Sir Apirana Ngata has been cancelled.
Yeah. Now, it's quite amazing. The reasons are just absurd, really. You know,
okay, well, what's your understanding? I read out the official line, but do you have any more detail?
No, you know, I got the letter from Joe Miller too, and, you know, it is really just hard to comprehend. Let's just go through it. So she says, we don't support the dissemination of information of this nature in our official buildings. The insert produced by your organisation spread a very particular political viewpoint and without counterbalance, and that was viewed as misinformation.
Well, what would the counterbalance be?
I've got no idea.
Some big dissertation about how everyone was ripped off and the white man colonised and destroyed everybody, got them smoking tobacco, yada, yada, yada. Is that what would have been the other side of the story?
Apparently, but it's quite absurd to say that any sort of advocacy advertising would require counterbalance. You know, the Advertising Standards Authority is quite clear on this, and it has different standards for advertising of a political nature. It calls it advocacy advertising. And it specifically says you don't have to have counterbalancing views because it's quite clear that it is a political view. And it quotes Section 14 of the Bill of Rights. It actually quotes Section 14 of the Bill of Rights and says people are free. And if I just read to you what that section is.
Please do. Remind me.
Section 14, Freedom of Expression from the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act 1990. It says everyone has the right to freedom of expression, including the freedom to seek, receive, and impart information and opinions of any kind in any form. Now, there's two elements to that. That is, firstly, our right to impart the information, but also the public's right to receive it. And that's important in this particular case because the public have been denied the right to receive Sir Apirana Ngata's interpretation of the Treaty of Waitangi. And that is an egregious affront to human rights. It's actually a breach of this act.
So what do you think's going on here?
Well, I'm not sure, really. You know, I can only guess. Maybe she didn't read it. Maybe she's just relying on some staff member who was offended. You know,
a good manager would never do that, by the way.
Exactly. Well, see, that becomes another failing. You know, but I can't see how any sensible person would really come to the view that it's misinformation if you've read it.
Do you think we are to assume that there are people that have crept into local government at the official level, not elected, though some probably elected, but officials, without us realizing it and white anting out the common sense?
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that. I think it's very prevalent in councils and government departments, actually. And I think that's probably what we've got here. It's simply an opinion or an interpretation of the treaty that someone doesn't like, someone somewhere doesn't like. And now Joe Miller has got in behind and reinforced this atrocious view.
Well, that must be her view.
Presumably.
Otherwise, you'd die in the ditch for it.
Well, otherwise you would have backed out pretty quickly on this issue, I would have thought.
Yeah, have you seen any evidence of backing out? I mean,
no.
You just got our, you know, I read out the comms that we've got. They don't want to talk about it. I know why they don't want to talk about it, because they know they're going to get shot to pieces.
Well, yeah. You know, who knows what she's going to do on this one. Yeah, I think any sensible person.
Well, it would have been Dave, not her. Dave, the comms guy. It wouldn't have been her.
But, you know, you'd think a reasonable person would say, oops, sorry, I made a mistake. And that would pretty much be the end of the matter, wouldn't it? And they'd move on. But I think an apology from her is unlikely. You know, another aspect is why haven't councillors spoken up about this? Because I did ask, had she passed this past councillors? You know, and she said no, it was a, what did she say? She described it as a... Let me just get her correct terminology. Yep. she called it an operational decision. And she says, further to your last question, I can confirm that neither the mayor nor councillors were apprised of this matter prior to the operational decision being made.
How could you think that was an operational matter?
I've got no idea.
Because now everyone thinks the Lower Hutt City Council are just fools, all of them.
Well, you'd think it, something as fundamental as freedom of speech, you'd think you'd at least go and have a chat to the mayor about it, maybe. And maybe the mayor would then chat to councillors.
Unless you know that the mayor is all in with you.
Quite possibly, yeah. Possibly, who knows? But
isn't that a firing offence?
Well, well, I think it needs to progress before we get to that conclusion. You know, normally you'd
give but who would fire? Who would fire?
This is the difficulty. You know, in many ways, the councillors are hamstrung by their own code of conduct, which prevents them from making publicly criticising their CEO. Their process is that they have to talk to the mayor about any concerns they may have, and then the mayor raises it with the CEO.
What a kindergarten. Jeez, yeah. We're all adults, man. You know, if I don't like what the CEO's doing, I'm going to say it.
Well, you'd think so, but the code of conduct really muzzles the councillors.
On purpose.
On many things, right? Including this issue.
That's on purpose.
I think it is.
Yeah. So now, as to why she's not doing the apology and doubling down, it's because she probably perceives that she won't get her next job if she apologises for this, because they're all in a little ecosystem, you know?
Well, you'd think councillors, though, would bring it up at a council level, because potentially there's, the Free Speech Union said they're going to take court action, presumably using the Bill of Rights as the basis of that court action. You'd think that that's serious enough to warrant councillors having a bit of a chat about it, and if they're not happy about it, they should then be maybe reprimanding Joe Miller, I would have thought, which would then, be a factor in her performance evaluation when it comes to reappointment.
Wow, it's an interesting, you've put the cat amongst the pigeons is what you've done.
Well, I don't know if we have. I think it's her response that's done that.
Okay, but this thing happening the way it has, let me put it that way, it's exposed a few things.
It has, yeah. It's quite serious because, something as fundamental as the right to receive information and the right to impart information, that's very, very basic to our free democracy. And if you go down this path that she has got here, that is a very totalitarian path. And I don't need to remind you and your listeners about regimes and past times that have done that and the effect. You know, it's pretty dark.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much of a line extension from cancelling someone to them disappearing. that's happened before. And I guess if she was promoting anything that the council was doing, you'd need the opposing view of how it could be done a better way or a different way every time, going on that logic.
Well, yeah, I'm just not sure how that would actually ever work in practice.
Well,
like any sort of advertisement or any public comment.
It would never work.
How many newspapers actually give a balanced view nowadays?
Well, look what's happening out there. They're crumbling and, it might not just stop there. Okay, so you'll be interested to find out what comes back or what happens with the engagement now of the Free Speech Union in this.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been sitting back to see what Joe Miller does and really what councillors do. That's of great interest to me. I'm actually a former councillor, so I've sort of got an interest in that process.
Okay.
So I'd be interested to see if they just sit back on their hands and do nothing.
Why would they do that, though, Frank? Okay, you know more than I realise. Why would they do that?
Fear, I think. Of getting criticised by their other councillors, fear of a code of conduct complaint against
them. Isn't
that
great publicity? Bring it on, man.
Well, you would hope that our councillors have actually got fortitude, but
why are they so timid? What happened to our pioneering spirit? What happened to it?
I think for them life's a lot easier if you swim with the tide.
It's all about the money, isn't it?
Well, for some it is. But, I think some really need to reflect and some need to need to think about their role as a representative and that sometimes they need to stand up and say no, because no is a very powerful word and it only takes one person to stand up and say no, and then others will also stand up and say no, and then you win. but they're not even prepared to stand up and say no. You know, I'll give you the example of recently Janet Dixon from the Real Estate
Institute. Yeah, we talked with her. Yeah.
Right. Well, and good on you for doing so, because your 16,000 real estate agents, licensed real estate agents, one stood up and said no. And already she's made a change. You know, that cultural course is now voluntary. It's not compulsory. You know, I put that down to Janet.
No, of course. You know? Of course. Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, and that's just one. One lady standing up and saying, no, I'm not taking this anymore.
We
and
had people emailing in, I'll just tell you, Frank, after we spoke to Janet, saying they would never use Harcourts again.
Yeah, well, they're on the spot as
that's
well.
That's where they've got themselves. Great job. Nice manoeuvring. Well done, you geniuses.
Yeah, well, they need to stand up and have a spine too, you know, stand up for what's right. But, you know, it's just one out of 16,000 that stood up and said no, and look at the effect. Well, what happens if 50 of them got up and said no? Imagine the power of that. You know, that's what we're finding in society now. And that's why on this one, the Free Speech Union have said to Joe Miller, no. Yeah. And let's see where that goes.
But in the case of Janet, that's a 16,500-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Think about what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is our fellow New Zealanders. This is where they're at.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Well, they people need to realise the power of no.
I wonder what Sir Apirana Ngata would make of this.
Well, look, I think anyone who
get me off the 50. I don't want to be on the 50 anymore.
Well, I think anyone who respects democracy and the right to free speech would be, you know, pretty upset about what's going on there.
Yeah.
As I say, this is really, if you allow this to happen, it's very, very dark times ahead.
Well, I think we kind of knew we were there, sort of, anyway, but this just, you know, confirms it. And a very interesting situation, this. Frank, thanks for coming on and telling us about that.
Paul, been a pleasure.
RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.